Won't you turn with me to 1 Samuel 17 tonight? 1 Samuel 17. And I want to preach a message simply entitled, Speak to the Mountain. Speak to the Mountain. And I'm just going to read, I'm actually going to refer to the entire chapter, but I want to read just a couple of verses. I didn't send anything to the computer, so just verse number 8 and verse number 9. Let me get my composure. Again, 1 Samuel 17, verse 8 and 9 says, Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And then verse 10, he just simply says, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. May the Lord add his blessing to his word tonight. Again, speak to the mountain. Now, I would imagine most of us here have probably heard the name Edmund Hillary, right? Edmund Hillary. He was a mountaineer. He was an explorer from New Zealand. He was a man that had a dream. His dream was to be the first man to reach the summit of Mount Everest. His first effort, again, as you might imagine, ended in failure, as did his second effort. In fact, his second attempt to scale that mountain ended in tragedy when one of his teammates, one of the people on his team, was killed. Later that year, when he had made his attempt to scale the mountain on the second time, when his friend was killed, he was speaking to a group of people when he turned around and behind him was a mural of Mount Everest. And he looked at that mural, and here's what he said. He said, Mount Everest, you have defeated us, but I will return and I will defeat you because you cannot get any bigger, but I can. You can't get any bigger, but I can. What a mouthful to be said. You know, every one of us here tonight face mountains of all sorts of things as we navigate this journey of life. It could be financial challenges, ministry challenges, relationship challenges, and health issues, and among many things. There are so many things that you and I, that we struggle with and we wrestle with as we journey through life. I think we can learn something from Sir Edmund Hillary's words, Mountain, you can't get any bigger, but I can. It's interesting, if you look at his story, a few months after he made that statement, he launched another expedition to Mount Everest, and on May 29th, 1953, he and one of his team members became the first men to ever summit Mount Everest. Pretty interesting. He did become bigger than the mountain, just like he said. His words are, again, if you read those words, they're quite inspiring, and they remind us something of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 when he said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a seed of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And then he says, nothing will be impossible to you. Again, think about that for a moment. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it would move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. I like that. Nothing shall be impossible to you. You know, Jesus made it clear that, and again, I really hesitate to describe it like this, but Jesus made it clear that there is a real connection between faith that is in our heart and the words that come out of our mouth. There is a connection there. Edmund Hillary spoke to his mountain, and a short time later, he was able to conquer that same mountain. And in our text tonight is a very familiar story that most of us would know from front to back and middle, and we know the story well. David faced a giant instead of a mountain, but I think it's applicable. It still applies. He spoke to his giant. Again, as you read through chapter 17, he did like Edmund Hillary did. He spoke to his mountain or his giant, and he inspires us to face the challenges that we have in life. Again, you hear me say it all the time. I can't get up here and paint a rosy picture of how wonderful things are because oftentimes they're not. You know, we have struggles. We have the ups and downs of life. We have the vacillation between great and poorly and all those other things in between, and that's just the way it is. And sometimes we just need to listen to what David did and speak to our mountain. You'll see, the mountain is that thing that stands in front of us that keeps us from being the man or woman of God. It keeps us from achieving what God wants us to achieve. I think about ministry opportunities and the things that God has called us to do. It's those mountains and those giants that stand in our way trying to prevent us from our destiny, if you will. So tonight, just for a few moments, I want to give you three things to remember when it comes to speaking to your mountain or to your giant. And the first thing I want you to understand is that we need to speak, not listen. Very important that we speak and not listen. Now, I know how many of you ever heard somebody say, well, you know what, you were created with two ears and one mouth. That should indicate that you should listen twice as often as you speak. And I think in most situations that's probably accurate, that I think sometimes we... You know, I used to talk about idle words. The Bible says every idle word that you utter you'll give an account for. An idle word is when you put your mouth in gear and your brain in neutral. There are a lot of people that are speaking, they're talking, and they're just rambling. They're just saying things. And again, I think that it's wise that we have two ears and one mouth. We listen twice as much as we speak. However, when it comes to dealing with our giants in the mountains, we should speak and not listen. Because they're communicating something. See, before David went out and faced the giant spoke to him. See, the giant is always telling us something, that mountain, that imposing obstacle that's in our way. It's communicating to us. It's always telling us something. When David goes out onto the battlefield, Goliath sneers at him and he calls him name. And then in verse 44, he says this. He said, come on here. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. What is he doing? He's intimidating. See, that's how a giant speaks to us. That's why I'm saying that when it comes to facing those challenges in front of us, we would be better served to speak rather than listen, because our giant, our mountain, is always telling us something, always trying to intimidate us, always trying to make us feel small. It's like when the children of Israel go into the promised land, when the 10 spies go in, or the 12 spies go into the land, and they come back. And if you listen to their report, they said, we saw giants there, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and we became grasshoppers. In other words, the giants in the land intimidated them to the point where they thought themselves small and insignificant. See, that's what our giants are saying to us. That's how our problems speak to us. That's how addictions speak to us. You know, they say things like, you know what, you're mine. You can't break that addiction. You can't. You'll always be an alcoholic. You'll always be hooked on this. You'll always be hooked on that. You'll never have freedom. You'll never experience it. And the mountain's always speaking to us. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to humiliate you. And there's not anything you can do about it. See, that's what they say to us. Those challenges that are in front of us, they tell us that we can't get past it, that it's this stronghold that we're not able to navigate around. These mountains say things like, you know what, you can't lose weight. You can't lose weight. You can't get those extra pounds off. You're going to be fat all of your life, and then you're going to die of a heart attack. Again, I'm just saying that's what it tells us. They say, you know what, your marriage, well, it'll never get better. What it is right now is the way it's always going to be. You can't hope for better days. See, this is what the mountain wants to speak to us, or our giants. They always try to intimidate. They always try to tell us what can't happen. They'll say, the giant will say, your marriage can't get any better. You don't deserve a good marriage. Or the mountain might say, you can't be happy. I'll always make sure there's something in your life that prevents you from tapping into that joy that you hear so much about. See, our problems are always trying to intimidate us. They're always trying to tell us that it can't be done. Always telling us that you're not worthy, that you're no good, and that there's nothing that you can do to get out of your present circumstance. See, that's the negative that comes. The giant's always trying to feed us that negativity and tell us how we can't get from where we are to where God wants us to be, that we can't rise to the occasion. Elaine, I don't mean to pick on you, but I don't know if you struggle with some of that as we launch into a brand new ministry with Hugs. It's a whole different type of ministry. You know, and I would understand every time we try to do something, the enemy's always right there saying, you know what, you're going to fall flat on your face. LaDonna, I know, same thing. We struggle like he says you can't do it. It can't be done. In 1957, it's kind of interesting, a renowned Yale University scientist with more than, I want you to hear this, he had more than 180 patents to his name. That's a lot. This university professor said this, and I quote, "To place a man in a multi-stage rocket and project him into the controlling gravitational field of the moon, I am bold enough to say that such a man-made voyage will never occur regardless of future advances." Now, that was said by a Yale scientist in 1957, a PhD, a man by the name of Dr. Lee DeForest. He said that in 1957. He was an expert. He was an expert in so many levels, and yet he was completely and totally wrong about space travel. See, that's the thing that we have to understand about our giants. They will speak to us. They will tell us things as though they are. Understand, sometimes there are sincere and otherwise well-meaning people that are close to us who inadvertently speak to us on behalf of the giant. They might say something like, you know what, don't try it, Elaine, that can't be done. Don't try it, LaDonna, that can't be done. Why would you launch out into a new ministry? Find something comfortable. Find something that's already going and it's working smooth and jump in on that. They tell you it can't be done. They tell you it's useless to try. They say you don't deserve to be successful in ministry. And it might be unintentional on their part, but the fact is they're not speaking the word of the Lord. They're speaking the word of Goliath, the negativity. Again, they may not say it as viciously as a giant, but the message is the same. And here's the message. The problem is bigger than you are. And so you can't win. See, when David goes out to face Goliath, the first thing right out of the bat, the giant is speaking to him and saying, this day I'm going to give your carcass, your flesh, to the birds. What was he saying? You're no match for me. How many of us sit intimidated by the giants that stand in front of us, by the mountains that are imposing in our pathway? How many of us sit intimidated by those things that seek to hinder us? This giant said, I'm going to do you in. And there's nothing you can do about it. See, when it comes to facing the mountain and or dealing with the giants, the first thing we need to remember is we need to speak and not listen. Because if you start listening to the chatter, see, I think part of the problem with where we are and our culture today is we've got too many talking heads. And I'll talk about our youth. Our children are being fed a bunch of B-O-L-O-G-N-A. They're denying, in fact, Romans, and I don't mean to jump off on this subject, but listen, when you struggle to figure out whether you're a male or a female or something in between, we got an issue. You're either XX or XY. It's a process of biology. It's not a choice of human consciousness. It is a process of biology, and yet our children are being told that if you feel effeminate or if you feel masculine or if you feel this way, then you go ahead and identify with how you feel. Too many talking. Too much intimidation. And if we face these things head on, and I think as a Christian parent and as a Christian grandparent, I need to speak into my children and my grandchildren's lives and let them know. Again, speak to these things, and I think the second thing we need to do is set the record straight. Again, you and I have a choice in how we live our lives. We can either live by how we feel or we can live by what the Word of God says. We say things like, well, I just don't feel it today. Well, thank God we don't live by feelings, we live by faith. See, I may not feel like praising the Lord, but I can worship Him anyway. I may feel like He's not close to me, but the Bible says He's near to a broken heart. I may not feel like God is with me, but He's promised in His Word that never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. See, I can choose to live by faith or I can live by feelings. It's my choice. I think when that mountain intimidates us, we have to set the record straight. Listen, if we're going to speak to our mountain, our giants, what do we say? We need to set the record straight. If we've had to face problems in our own strength, we would have every right to be intimidated if we did it all on our own. But that's not the case. Because you know what? I'm a child of God. The battle doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. Again, the battle doesn't belong to me. I was talking to little Amanda today, and I'm believing God for a miracle when she goes to the doctor on Tuesday. I said, God's got you. God has you. Listen, I can step into that faith and say, God, I may not understand. There's something in front of me. There's a giant. There's an obstacle. There's a mountain in my pathway, and it's intimidating. And God's like, listen, set the record straight. This doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. See, when David came on the scene and he saw how frightened the men of Israel were there in chapter 17, the army of Israel, he couldn't just be silent. I want you to think about what he did. He goes there at the behest of his father to check on his brothers and to take them cheese and crackers, probably Ritz. And he goes out there to check on them, and of course you know the story. They're in the battle. They're in battle positions. One on one side of the valley, one on the other side of the valley. They're there, ready to engage. And he comes out there, and he listens. And he sees the intimidation. The giant comes out. And it wasn't just to David that he was speaking. He spoke to the nation. He intimidated the nation. And again, I don't mean to wax political, but we've got so much intimidation in our nation. We need the righteousness of God to stand up and confront the intimidation. This enemy was taunting and intimidating the children of God, and he saw it. They were cowering in fear. He's like, oh, hey, time out. You know what he was doing? He was setting the record straight. He's like, hey, he was reminding them, to whom do you belong? Think about that for a minute. He had to speak up. He had to put the situation in proper perspective, and basically in plain English, here's what he said. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Why are you afraid of this guy? Don't you remember whose you belong to? Don't you remember to whom you belong? Why are you afraid of this guy? Why? Who is he? And who are you? Verse 26, that's what he said. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Understand, he's trying to paint the picture. That even though this giant is talking to them and taunting them and intimidating them, he's trying to set the record straight. Wait a minute. Who do you belong to? Who's on your side? Who's fighting your battles for you? He was trying to get them to remember. More importantly, David didn't just talk about the problem of Goliath. He talked to the problem one-on-one. In fact, when nobody else would go out and confront this uncircumcised Philistine, David walks out to the battlefield, and of course, you know, I already shared with you what, in verse 43, Goliath looks at him and says, am I a dog? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? David looked up at the giant, and I know it didn't happen this way, but again, my imagination, I would like to think little David looked up at him and said, you know what? Now I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. In fact, verse 45 begins what he says. He said, you know what? You come against me with a sword and spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defile. This day, I like that. This day, you know what he's doing? He's drawing a red line. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and the whole world will know. Now notice why he's doing it. So that the whole world know that there is a God in Israel. See, I really believe that God is looking for some righteous indignation, for some people to stand up, for some people to run for public office, for some people to go to the voters' box and say, you know what, we're going to stand up for the cause of righteousness. We're not going to be intimidated by left-leaners. We're not going to be intimidated by the LGBTQ community. We're not going to be intimidated by any of these other things. We're going to stand up, and it's the Lord that we're talking about here. He goes on and he says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. Verse 47, he said, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Isn't that amazing? See, everybody else was in the same valley. They heard the same thing. They were taunted the same way. And David comes on the scene and says, whoa, time out. Buddy, you don't understand. I know in whom I have believed in. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And devil, you're not going to intimidate me today. See, I think it's time for the church to understand that greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. And we stand up like David and say, I'm going to tell you one more time, devil, that you cannot have my son. You cannot have my grandson. You can't have my granddaughter. I'm claiming them in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off of them. I believe that this evening. See, this is how we speak to a giant. You tell the giant what the limitations are. You tell the giant what the future is going to be, and you tell the giant that he's no match for your God. Listen, David didn't go out there, and I love the story about David. There's so many angles to that great story. David went out there. He was not self-confident. He was God-confident. He didn't say, well, you don't understand. I'm an expert in slingshot. I'd practiced, and I'm ready. He went out there, and he said, look, I'm not standing in my own strength. I'm not doing this because I'm somebody. I'm doing it because I belong to somebody. And I think when we're intimidated by the world, then we fail to recognize that the power of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells within us. And we can stand. Just like Edmund Hillary shaking his fist at that giant photograph behind him of Mount Everest, saying, you cannot get any bigger, but I can. See, maybe that's where we are tonight. Maybe that's where Christendom is tonight, that we've cowered in defeat for so long, but the mountain can't get any bigger. But we can. We can speak to that mountain. We can declare to that thing that's taunting us that we can conquer it, not by our own power, but not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God, God working through us. Again, when I'm talking about setting the record straight, I'm talking about putting that problem in proper perspective. What's the proper perspective? This right here. Understanding that this problem is nothing compared to the awesomeness of our God. It's nothing compared to the awesomeness of our God. Listen, there's not a problem that we have that God's not able. Listen, God has really been, really this whole year has been laid on my heart. I'm big enough, Mike. I'm big enough. Pray, seek my face. I'm big enough. Listen, there are things that each of us, again, we all have the struggles. We all have battles in life. There are things that are so far beyond what I'm able to control and handle. But they're no match for my God. That's why we are to be witnesses to our world, because the world looks at us and Jesus said, he said, peace I give to you. I don't give you peace like the world gives. I give you my peace. Peace that surpasses understanding. That's what makes us a powerful witness to the world, because when everybody's running around saying the sky's falling like Chicken Little, we can stand our ground and we can have that inner tranquility that says, you know what, but I know in whom I have believed in. I know that he's able to do more than ever I can ever ask or imagine. Think of the greatest challenge that you're facing right now. You know, even in our church family, we've got people that struggle with all kinds of things, addictions, financial struggles, health issues. See, the question is not whether we can defeat the problem, because honestly, we probably can't. The question is, can God overcome this problem? And the answer is, of course, he can. Jesus again said, if you have faith. Alma caught me just a minute ago, and she said, Pastor, there was one more step to prayer this morning. You got to believe. You got to believe. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can say to this giant, this mountain, this hardship, this health issue, this financial crisis, you can say, be moved, and it would move. And nothing will be impossible to you. He didn't say that we can think and the mountain will move. He said, speak. Speak out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. You ever met somebody that just was a Debbie Downer? I mean, they opened their mouth and just outflowed, it just oozed negativity. I don't know about you, but that just kind of crawls me. There's enough negative stuff in the world, you know? And I'm not talking about some Pollyanna type attitude where you know, nothing, you know, I think we have to be realist. But again, I think we are realist, understanding that no problem, no giant, no mountain is so tall and big enough that God can't do something about it. Listen, that unsaved loved one that you have, you know what? The arm of the Lord is not short that he cannot reach. His ear is not deaf that he cannot hear. That financial struggle that you have, do you know what? We serve a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. One who said all the gold is mine and all the silver is mine. That health issue, we serve a God according to Isaiah 53, said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's faith right there. It's not about how I feel. It's about what the Word of God says. See, in order to become bigger than the mountain, we have to speak words of faith to that mountain. And again, I'm not talking about mind over matter, okay? I hesitated with this message because we live in a culture today where we've taken the positive confession movement way down the line. But there's a correlation between the faith that's in my heart and the words that come out of my mouth. There's a correlation. See, in order to defeat the giant, we've got to be bold enough to speak the word of faith to the giant. In fact, on our website, I don't know if some of you have not been on there in some time. We've on our website, maybe it's been a couple of years ago, I put a list of scriptures, healing scriptures. I just believe that he's still a healing Jesus. And all through Scripture, he declares that very thing. And so on our website, there's a link that you can click on there, Healing Scriptures, and you can go on there and you can read some in the Old Testament, you can read some in the New Testament. Listen, I just believe we start speaking, and you know what? If you don't have words of faith that you can declare, speak the word to it. Speak the word to it. If you got a health issue, get some healing scriptures and say, you know what? This day I declare, by his stripes I'm healed. Today I declare that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. He sent his word and he healed. Again, speak words of faith. The mountain, and tell the mountain, you know what? You might be big, but you can't get any bigger. But through God, I can. I can get bigger. My faith can grow. And you're no match for God. See, that's how we speak to the mountain. That's how we speak to set the record straight, by telling him this is how it's going to be. The third thing is we've got to do this. We've got to reach for a rock. We've got to reach for a rock. When Edmund Hillary made that speech, and when he stood up at that little conference with all those people, kind of in defiance of Mount Everest, "You defeated us this time." It was a dramatic moment. Everybody that sat there listening to him talk erupted in this thunderous applause of his bold determination. But here's the thing: Edmund Hillary didn't build a career traveling throughout the country as an after-dinner speaker screaming to the mountain picture behind him. You know what he did? He planned the next expedition. He declared what he was going to do. "Mountain, you can't get any bigger, but I can." And then he went on and he planned the next expedition to Mount Everest. When David stood up to Goliath and he said this, he said, "This day I will strike you down and cut off your head." It was a dramatic moment. See, the nation of Israel was looking for a champion. Nobody was brave enough to step up and face the giant. But David says, "You know what, I'll do it." And he goes out there and he says, "This day I'm going to strike you down and I'm going to cut off your head." It was a very dramatic moment. You know, and if it had been a Hollywood movie, David would have turned around and smiled for the camera and said, "Hey, boys, did you hear that? did you hear that? I just spoke a compelling word of faith. Now let's let go and let God do the rest." That's not what he did. When David boldly declared to that adversary, to that giant, to that mountain that was intimidating, that was taunting him, instead of turning around and saying, "Hey guys, I just declared a word of faith to you right there, so now we're just going to let go and let God," you know what he did? He reached into his pouch and he pulled out a rock. And then he placed that rock in the sling, and he got ready to put his life on the line. And here's the thing. If we want God to stand behind our words, we need to be prepared to stand behind our words. Think about that for a minute. See, Edmund Hillary spoke boldly to the mountain when he went after the mountain. David spoke boldly to Goliath, and then he went after Goliath. What makes us think that we can speak something and then never do anything about it? See, sometimes there's a time for praying, and there's a time for doing. And they're not mutually exclusive, because they flow together. The Bible says faith without works is what? It's dead. It's dead. Faith without works is dead. What does it mean? It means we pick up a stone. Sure, we have a mountain in front of us. Sure, we have a giant that's in front of us that's taunting us, telling us how this person's too far gone or that situation is far beyond our ability to do something about it. Sure, we have all of those things around us, but we can speak the word of faith and then we pick up a stone. We get involved. We engage in what God called us to do and we start doing it. There has to be a connection between, again, the faith that's in our heart and the words that we speak. But there also has to be a connection, pardon me, between the words that we speak and the action that we take. So there's far too many houses of worship that come in and they talk about the lost, they pray about the lost, but they never do anything to reach the lost. They talk about discipleship, they preach about it, they teach about it, they pray about it, but they never disciple. Everywhere. See, there's a connection, again, between the faith that's in our heart and the words that we speak, and there's a connection between the words that we speak and the places we go with our feet, the actions that you and I take. And if I want God to stand behind my words, then I have to be willing to stand behind my own words too. You know, how many's ever heard the adage, having skin in the game? That means that you've got to throw yourself in. Some of you don't know, we hadn't talked about, LaDonna's been working on a discipleship ministry where we can do some one-on-one discipleship. One of the greatest needs of the church today, we live in one of the most biblically illiterate generations ever. You know, when Marie this morning spoke and held up that cross and talked about there in Tampa when she held it up and the kids didn't even know what it was, that broke my heart. I thought, man, I can't even imagine that. But yet that's probably more real than we even understand. And it's probably not just in Tampa. It's probably right here in our own community too. See, I got to be willing to put skin in the game. So she's been working with, meeting with people so that when the idea is when people come to the altar, we have, some of you might remember years ago we talked about doing a spiritual personal trainer. Where we come and stand with them and say, you know what? For the next 6 months, I want to meet with you. I want to disciple. However that fleshes out. But you understand what I'm talking about. We want to be able to sit down and train them to have a love and a passion for God's word and for prayer. But you know what? She's got to have skin in the game. What does that mean? It means she's got to take time. She's investing time to do it. Elaine leading up hugs. Going to be a powerful, in fact, some of you, how many saw it on Facebook where Rosser Funeral Home had put out a little blurb about our upcoming ministry kicking off right after, as we say, Thanksgiving. what's the next? Easter. Thank you, Easter. Right after Easter, going to kick off, and is that right? 2 weeks. Oh, wow. Oh, that's coming up. See there? I tell you, I don't know anything. I just work here. Okay, so it's coming up. I mean, here shortly. I mean, again, but she's had to have skin in the game. You know what that means? She's been taking time. She's been going to training in Fort Worth. How long did you go to the warm place up there? 4 weeks? Yeah, to do the training. And then I saw where you said something about going to Watermark to sit in with one of their classes. You doing that? It's skin in the game. See, again, there's a connection with what I say and what I do. And again, if we're going to speak to our mouth, then we need to back up our words as well. If I expect God to back up my words, then I need to back up my words. Again, after we speak to the word of faith and reach into our bag for our rock, we got to be willing to put our life out there, put our life on the line. That's what David did. Everybody else was, and I'm going to wrap this up here. Everybody else was hunkered. Everybody understand hunkered? Okay. Everybody else was hunkered down behind a rock because they were intimidated by a giant that was no match for the God of their of the nation. And yet nobody could see beyond their immediate fear. That taunting of that enemy made them feel small and insignificant. David comes along and says, wait a minute. There's something wrong with this picture here. You're no match for my God. And so I'm going to step out. See, David knew that God wanted to show himself strong. It could have been somebody else. It didn't have to be David. I mean, honestly, anybody could have stepped up and said, oh, wait a minute, God, I can't believe that he's doing that. I can't believe that he's defying you and your children. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to take care of him. Anybody could have done that, but nobody would. Until David comes along and says, wait a minute, this is not right. Let's go and tackle this thing. And he spoke to the mountain, to the giant. And then he went out there and he did something about it. Speaking the word of faith isn't all there is to spiritual victory. It is an essential step in the process. It says, if our words provide a link between what I believe and what I do. John Maxwell used to teach the principle that if you show somebody your checkbook and your calendar, you can see pretty much where their faith is. Because what we make time and what we give to reveal the importance of what we view and value is very important to us. Again, that's what I mean here tonight. Right now, just I want you to think about it. Just imagine that you're looking, and I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you sit here and there's a giant that's in front of you that's intimidating. Maybe it's a doctor's report. You know, bless her heart, little Amanda this morning. She goes on Tuesday. Her mom sent me a note last night and said, Pastor, she woke up and she has, and I know that you don't mind me sharing it because she put it out there publicly, but she had a nodule or knot grow up just on the side of her throat. She sent me a note last night and said she found another one on the other side and she's starting to lose her voice. Again, scary for a teenager, anybody, but scary for a teenager. She's facing a giant. Because right now in our culture, if you hear the C word, it's an intimidating word. Not far from here, a pastor friend of mine, some of you might know Al Crane, pastors in Crowley. His wife is diagnosed with cancer, a very aggressive type of cancer. And they're doing everything they can. Right now, the tumor is too big for them to operate, and so they're trying to do everything they can to shrink it so that they can do surgery. It's intimidating. So maybe you sit here tonight and maybe the doctor has given you an unfavorable report. It's an intimidation. Maybe there's an unexpected expense that popped up and your budget is set so and it's going to impact you in a pretty significant way. Maybe there's part of your family that has walked away from the faith and they're not serving God right now and that bothers you. Listen, I understand it does. It's a giant that intimidates. Imagine you're looking at that mountain that has defeated you, or imagine that you're looking at standing in front of that giant that has defied you. What do? You don't listen to what it says. You start setting the record straight. Again, I know in whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Do we honestly believe that? See, there used to be a time when he was really our only hope. Now with modern science, we put hope in all these other things. And I'm not knocking that, please understand. But we want to give everything else a try. And then when that doesn't work, we want to come back to God. Why not let God get in? Why not invite him to get involved? What's intimidating you tonight? What stands in your way tonight? What is it that weighs on you that keeps telling you? Is it a ministry? that keeps saying, you can't do it, it's not going to be successful? Is it an unsaved loved one? Is it a financial need? Church, it's time for us to stand and declare this. David said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Won't you stand with me tonight? Can we, Rosetta, would you mind coming back just for a moment? I want to pray like this. I want us to sing one song, He is Lord. That sums up everything I've talked about here tonight. He is Lord. Preeminent, above every circumstance, above every mountain, above every trial, every tribulation. He is Lord. And as such, we have no need to fear. No need to fear whatsoever. See, we are the ones that begin to tell our giant how it's going to be. Devil, you come against me with these things, but my God. You tell me that I'm going bankrupt, but my Bible says God shall supply my need according to His riches and glory. You tell me that my children are too far gone from God, but the arm of the Lord is not short that He cannot reach, and His ear is not deaf that He cannot hear. You tell me that my sickness is going to take me out, but God sent His word and He healed them. We speak to the mountain. Cancer must bow to Jesus. Heart disease must bow to Jesus. Evil will bow. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Can we sing that?
For He is Lord.
Come on, let's just declare that by faith tonight. Lord, You are Lord over it all. Declare, You are Lord.
For You my Lord.
Yes, You are my Lord. Just one more time, He is Lord. Lord, we declare it tonight, Lord, over every mountain, every giant.
For He is Lord. He is Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
He has risen from the dead. And He's the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus.
Let me just ask you, with nobody looking around, if you're here tonight, say, Pastor, I'm facing a giant. I'm being intimidated by an adversary, by a giant, by a mountain. If you're here tonight, and again, nobody looking around, just slip in, write them right back down. Say, Pastor, pray. I'm facing something right now that's intimidating. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just pray. Father, right now, come on, let's just lift our voice. God, I thank you that greater is he. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in this world. Father, I thank you that you give us power over all the power of the enemy. Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against me can prosper. Lord, and all that rise up against me will fall. Lord, I thank you that when we go through the flood and when we go through the fire, we'll not be burned and the waters will not overcome us. But I thank you for faith in you tonight, Lord. Our faith in you is not misplaced faith. Lord, I pray for the hands that went up tonight, Lord, that are facing, Lord, situations that are taunting to them. Lord, the enemy wants to intimidate, Lord, to paralyze, to stifle. Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, we recognize you are Lord of all. Lord, we belong to you, and that there's no power, no authority that is above you. Lord, you said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Lord, we have dominion over the enemy tonight, Lord. We are not his doormat. Lord, we stand bold in you tonight. Lord, you said, having done all, stand. Lord, tonight we stand confident that you who began a good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion. Lord, we stand confident today or tonight that you called us and qualified us to do what it is that we're doing. Lord, we stand tonight convinced that you've prepared a place for us. You are leading us beside the still waters, Lord. You are preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Lord, we stand confident tonight, Lord, that our loved ones are not beyond your reach and they're not beyond your earshot, Lord. I thank you that there's no place, no time that we can be, that you're not already there. Lord, let miracle power flow tonight, Lord. Healing in the name of Jesus. God, you're bigger than cancer. Lord, you're bigger than arthritis. You're bigger than leukemia. Lord, you're bigger than heart disease. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to hunker down in intimidation any longer. Lord, may we stand for the cause. Lord, may we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to him who believes. Father, I love each one here tonight. And Father, I pray a blessing upon every person here tonight. God, I pray as we walk out of here tonight that we walk out, Lord, speaking to our giants. Lord, may we speak to our giants, speak to our mountains this week. May we not be intimidated by anything that comes our way, but may we stand bold in you and declare the word of faith to everything the enemy throws at us this week. Lord, give us a wonderful, restful night, I pray. And Lord, should we wake up in the morning, Lord, may we wake up with a spring in our step and a song in our heart. Lord, put people in our pathway that we can share our story and that we can share witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, bring us again on Wednesday, should you tarry, ready to study your word once again. Lord, I love and I bless each one here in the very powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all said together, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you so much. Amen. Go with God and walk in victory.